Now, you may have all realized by now that the sanctuary looks a little different this morning, and you may be waiting for me to get to the point already. Well, several people have been asking me ever since we got the new chairs when we would get around to doing something different with the seating. So here you go. Although I don't know if all of you necessarily had this in mind when you were asking me to rearrange things. Now, part of the reason why I wanted us to sit in a new configuration is I was hoping that we might be able to look at the sanctuary differently, that we might be able to notice things that maybe we have missed in the past, even though the majority of us have spent countless hours in this space. Like perhaps you're wondering what's outside of that window behind the organ, or perhaps realizing for the first time that that is a window behind the organ. Maybe you're wondering why the floorboard right around the chancel stops where it does at the steps, or perhaps you're noticing for the first time and will never forget that look in your family members' eyes as they worship our Lord. Being in a space time after time can make us blind to the little details that we may miss. And it's only when we change our perspective that we begin to see things anew, that we can see a space or a people with fresh eyes. As we continue our exploration of our missional call to live out the Great Commission of the Church, we turn our focus to the neighborhoods in which we live. If we are to be a missional people, making friends within a pluralist society, then we must have a sense of the people and the culture that is around us. In order for us to successfully proclaim the good news to the people who live around us, we must understand the layout of our surroundings. We need to know our neighborhoods. Now, when I began planning this sermon series several months back, I immediately thought of the two passages that we've heard today when I thought about the topic for this sermon. Both Nehemiah and Paul were people with vision. Both had a mission which had been laid upon them. Both had to assess their surroundings in order to figure out how they were supposed to accomplish their goals. And in both of our passages, from Nehemiah and from the book of Acts, the path to these goals was through knowing their neighborhoods. Nehemiah's mission was to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem after Cyrus had begun sending exiles back to Judah and after Artaxerxes had patronized Nehemiah's aspirations. However, Nehemiah didn't simply roll into town, guns ablazing, but rather set about his work quietly and prayerfully. He rode around the ruins of the city, assessing what could be restored and what had to be built anew from scratch. He was judicious in his calculations, making the wall smaller than it had once been in the days of Jerusalem's former glory. But this didn't discourage him. Rather, he was emboldened by his sense of what needed to be done. He knows that some will dissent to what he is about to initiate, and so he wants to make sure that he has all of the facts in mind prior to be bringing others into what he believes God has laid on his heart to do prior to beginning the construction of the wall. Paul was also a man who had a vision, but rather than being to building more walls, it was to build up a new kind of humanity. One family which was made up of Jews and Gentiles alike. In order to do this, he adopted the strategy which he lays out in 1 Corinthians 9, which begins by saying that when he went to Jews, he behaved like a Jew. When he went to Gentiles, he behaved like a Gentile. When he went to the weak, he behaved weak. And he summarizes all of this by saying, I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Before he could become all things to all people, he first had to understand the people to whom he was sent. In the case of the Athenians, Paul walked through the streets and observed what life was like in Athens. He noted that it was full of idols, even ones to an unknown god. He learned the key philosophies being discussed on the streets during those times, those of the Epicureans and the Stoics. He even modeled himself after the greatest philosopher Athens had ever known, Socrates, who himself engaged in dialogue and debate in the marketplace. He learned how to speak to the Athenians in a way that they would understand the good news that he brought to them. The examples of both Nehemiah and Paul highlight the deeply contextual calling that is laid upon those who have a mission from God, in our case, the Great Commission. Both of these men live up to one of Jesus' most difficult commands, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. They both found themselves in situations where they might easily have been devoured by the challenges that were facing them, but rather sought wholeheartedly to follow the Lord's command while doing so in a shrewd fashion. Nehemiah counts the cost. He discerns what is possible with the resources at hand for addressing the damage that's been done. He then recruits the necessary support to bring his plan to completion. Paul likewise discerns what is necessary to proclaim the lordship of Jesus to his audience, and he adapts his language based on what he's observed of his intended audience. He doesn't insist that the Athenians should learn his Jewish vocabulary before they can understand who Jesus is, but rather goes on to quote to them from Athenian philosophers, playwrights, and even idols that he finds along the street in order to explain the point that he has been sent to tell them. These examples of addressing our surroundings and doing what is necessary to accomplish the goal laid before us are only possible when we consider the goal to be more important than our personal preferences. Nehemiah gives up his regal position alongside an emperor to ride around a city on a stock animal at night. And then he needs to make concessions about the former size of Jerusalem. That's humility. Paul is distressed to see idols all around him, but chooses to observe what they might teach him so that he can speak to those in desperate need of hearing his message of good news. This is humility as well. With the stories of Paul and Nehemiah in mind, I would like to tell you another story, one from September of last year, when I went down to Pueblo to participate in a training from the Presbyterian Mission Agency's 1001 New Worshiping Communities Initiative, which is trying to plant, 1001 New Worshiping Communities over the course of a 10-year period of time. The goal of these communities are the same as any traditional churches, to be a people who gather around word and sacrament. However, the means for creating these communities can look quite different from our traditional models. Some of these worshiping communities have grown up around skate parks or in coffee shops or around those who are currently experiencing homelessness. They've been started by people who have assessed a need, a place where good news is not being preached in a way that it can be heard. And they have attempted to address these needs. As a part of this training, we engaged in a process called neighborhood exegesis. Now, exegesis is maybe a word that we need unpacked a little bit. It's something that I engage in on a weekly basis as I try to prayerfully prepare these sermons. It is the critical task of interpretation that relies on the thing that's being interpreted rather than on the whims and fancies of the person who's doing the interpreting. For a sermon, exegesis is derived from a passage of scripture. For the task of neighborhood exegesis, interpretation is derived from what is observed within a neighborhood. Let me tell you the story. So we split into small groups, the groups of us in Pueblo, and walked throughout the downtown area of that city, looking at the condition of buildings, noticing that there were bars on the windows of houses, observing the ethnic or socioeconomic makeup of different streets, noting how few vehicles had out-of-state license plates, etc. Another part of our neighborhood exegesis was to engage in conversations with strangers on the street. I was surprised at how readily people were willing to share with us their own experiences within the town of Pueblo. Stories from their own lives, their history with religion, and perhaps why they were no longer engaged with it. Some people were apprehensive at first, but they began to hungrily share when they realized that we were there to listen to them. And so few people are readily listened to. People listening to what it is that they genuinely have felt and experienced and what they have on their minds. When the groups finally reassembled following our exegetical journey through the neighborhood, it was amazing how much we had discerned about what life was like in downtown Pueblo and the way that it was not effectively being reached by the good news of Jesus the Messiah. We then had the challenging and exciting work of discerning how good news might be spoken in a fresh and new way. But perhaps the churches of Pueblo were going to need to humble themselves and scale back on some of the old efforts that they had enjoyed, but that were preventing them from missionally living out the Great Commission in their neighborhood. And obviously, this is not only a mission for the churches in Pueblo, but also in Boulder, in Colorado, in our country, and in all the world. We all are called to discern how we might speak good news into our neighborhoods in fresh and dynamic ways so that the people in our neighborhoods might encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. This will require for us to look prayerfully at our neighborhoods, trying to see them as God sees them. Perhaps we can start by just looking around this sanctuary with a new perspective that is created by having the chairs cleared out from the center of this room. What do you notice that you have missed in the past? What do you see with your family members that you haven't observed before when we were all simply facing forwards? How can a place that is so familiar suddenly appear so different? But your observations can't stop here. I would encourage you to go on a series of prayerful walks this week down the street where you live, or through the grocery store, or in a familiar neighborhood. Pray that God would help you to see that place as God sees it. Try to observe the people around you. What are they wearing? What are the expressions on their faces? How do they move? What kind of advertisements do you see around you? How do people get around from point A to point B? Are there any people who are not on their cell phones? After each of these prayerful walks, go home and pray about what you have learned. Ask God to reveal to you what is needed in order to speak good news into that neighborhood. Ask God if there is something that you perhaps need to give up in order to fill the Great Commission at this time and in that place. Ask God to give you the mind of Christ so that you can consider others above yourself. Read Philippians chapter 2 for that one. Consider the examples of biblical figures like Nehemiah and Paul and how they proved effective for the work the Lord had given them to do. And who knows, as you come to know that neighborhood, God may just reveal to you how it is you are called to speak good news. And so I pray that we will encourage one another in this mission. Let us support one another in our endeavors to better understand our neighborhoods and the ways in which we might speak good news in a new and fresh way so that our neighbors might hear and believe. Let us work with all humility and shrewdness in investing ourselves in effective endeavors for the sake of God's kingdom. Let us be a people who know our neighborhoods, so that the people of our neighborhoods might know our Lord as well. Amen. Holy and gracious God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you have invited us to share in your work of preaching good news to the people around us. God, may we know people in the way that you know them. May we see them with your eyes and love them with your heart. God, may we be sent as a people who are extending your good news and your grace to all of our neighbors around us. It is in your powerful name that we pray. Amen.